As was earlier announced, the scripture reading this morning is coming from Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. Again, that's Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us use prophecy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, in liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness.
Good morning. So great to be here this morning, and I'm very thankful that God has blessed us with another day of life and such a beautiful day that he has blessed us with. And I'm so thankful for this opportunity to preach to every one of you this morning. I'm also thankful this morning for things like Tylenol and Advil. Kind of overdid it yesterday out in the yard, so it's helping me be up here and be able to stand here before you. I'd like to thank everyone for being here, especially if you're visiting, and I'd invite you to follow along and open up God's Word. And if you have any questions, please bring them up to me. I would love to answer any questions that you have about the things that are said or done this morning. And if you find fault in anything that I do, please bring that to me as well, because we want to make sure that all that we do is to God's glory and to His perfection. So I'd also like to invite you back this evening at 6 p.m. We have another good speaker who's going to come before us this evening, and I have the opportunity every Lord's Day morning to go in the back and help him teach the high school kids, and he's a wonderful speaker and teacher, and that's Dan Brown. He's in the back there, and he has such a great ability to speak, and he does things a little bit different than I do. I'm more scripted and have all the pages before you, and he can just do everything off the cuff. So very blessed to have him. So now let's get into the lesson. A while back when I was told by Gary that I was going to preach, I mean asked by Gary, just joking, Gary, I thought I'd ask my wife what she'd like to hear a sermon on, and she gave me two ideas. The first one was about friendship. Thought that was a great idea. So I started working on that, came up with a couple ideas on that, and lo and behold, a few weeks back, Kevin Mellinger taught about friendship. So that kind of squashed that idea. Thanks, Kevin. So we're on to the next one. So I moved on to our second idea, which I really liked as well. So if you like a story about a strong leader, or maybe you like a story about the good guys defeating the bad guys. Maybe you like a story with a little violence. Maybe someone who nails a tent peg through someone's head. Then you'll like the story of Deborah. She's definitely a lady who wore a lot of different hats. She was a prophetess, a judge, a leader, a wife, a mother in Israel, and the list goes on. So today we're going to learn about the great story of Deborah in a bonus woman as well. The name Deborah means bee. Now, some of the qualities of bees that Deborah possessed: she was industrious, sharp perception, great usefulness, sweet to her friends, and sharp to her enemies. And I think that these are all very fitting, and some of these qualities are going to come out in this study. Now, Deborah's story is set in the context of the period of the judges of Israel, which was after the time of Moses and Joshua and before the time of the kings of Israel. It was during the time of the judges that the people of Israel often turned away from the Lord and did their own thing. The Bible says that everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Kind of sounds like what happens in the world today, right? So when the people of Israel sinned against God, God would bring judgment. Then the people would repent. Then God would deliver them. He often accomplished this work through leaders called judges. And that's the cycle that happens again and again through the book of Judges. And it can definitely be a very depressing and hard to read book, but it's a book we can definitely learn a lot from. Now at this time we see that Ehud had passed away. He was the second judge and left-handed, and which Don would say made him superior, or even Jeremy would say that, I would say inferior, but whatever. So Ehud passed away, and now we see that Israel went into their cycle of sin and have been harshly oppressed for it for 20 years by Jabin, the king of Canaan. Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help. So now enter in Deborah. And we're going to learn today that Deborah was a leader. There's been some confusion in the religious world about whether or not God created women to be leaders. Let me just clear that up for you. Women can be leaders, and God created and called some women to be leaders. Now, we clearly know from Scripture that women are not to fulfill certain roles, just as men are to not fulfill certain roles. Women are to not be husbands, fathers, or elders in particular, but they can be leaders. Don, a couple weeks ago, talked about the role of women in the worship service, so I won't get into that this morning. But the Bible is filled with examples of women who led in the Bible and knew their role. A couple of them are Esther, and this morning we're going to talk about Deborah, both of whom we can learn so many great examples on how to be a good leader and people today. So men, women, and children alike, let's learn about Deborah, the judge and leader. So first, Deborah was a respected leader. Deborah was known by the people of Israel, and she was respected first and foremost as a prophetess. So let's all open to the book of Judges. We'll be doing most of our study this morning in Judges chapter 4. Judges 4, and we'll first look at verses 1 through 5. When Ehud was dead, the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who dwelt in Harosheth Hagoyim. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, for Jabin had 900 chariots of iron, and for 20 years he had harshly oppressed the children of Israel. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. And she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. So now we learn that Deborah had her own palm tree. That's pretty cool. She would sit under that tree, and people would come to her to hear from the Lord regarding disputes that they had with one another. Really, Deborah was fulfilling two roles, that of a prophet and that of a judge. Some of the judges we learn about were military heroes, but this was not initially the case with Deborah. Deborah was filling the role that was more in line with the men who were set up by Moses to help take care of the people of Israel, because the work had become too burdensome for him to do by himself. However, we're going to see that Deborah went far beyond that. So the people respected Deborah. They came to her to hear from the Lord and to hear wisdom regarding disputes. We also see that she was respected by those in power. So let's look at verses 6 through 8. Judges 4, verses 6 through 8. Then she sent and called for Barak, the son of Abinoam, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "Has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor? Take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and of the sons of Zebulun. And against you I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude at the river Kishon, and I will deliver him into your hand. And Barak said to her, if you go, if you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. So we see two indicators in this passage that Barak, this military leader, respected Deborah. First, he came and listened to her. He didn't dismiss her. Rather, Barak listened to Deborah because he respected her leadership. Second, we also see that Barak says that he will only go down into battle if Deborah goes with him. That's something, isn't it? A male military leader will only go to battle if a female prophet and judge will accompany him. Barak was willing to risk his life and the lives of his troops because he respected Deborah as a leader. Now, just as an aside, as Don likes to say, Barak comes off in this story as not very faithful or courageous, but in the book of Hebrews, if we all turn there, Hebrews chapter 11, Barak is listed amongst the faithful servants of God. And let's read Hebrews 11 in verses, we'll do 30 through 33. Hebrews 11, verses 30 through 33. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. And I'll stop there. So now we'll get back to Deborah. So Deborah was a respected leader. Second, we see that Deborah was a ready leader. Deborah was hanging out under her own palm tree, delivering prophecies and settling disputes, doing what she does, when all of a sudden opportunity came her way, and that required action. Those of you in this room who are leading in any way, whether it be in your family, in your marriage, in your place of work, in our community, or in our church, you need to catch this reality. A leader is ready for action. Deborah was ready. Listen to these verses of two ways that Deborah was ready. And let's look back at Judges 4. And we'll reread verses 6 through 7. Then she sent and called for Barak, the son of Abinadab, from Kadesh and Naphtali, and said to him, has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor? Take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and of sons of Zebulun, and against you I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude at the river Kishon, and I will deliver him into your hand. So now, as a prophet of the Lord, Deborah was ready, and she responded when the Lord gave her message to deliver to Barak. Listen, men did not usually listen to women in those days. Military leaders did not always listen to prophets in those days either. Nevertheless, Deborah was ready, and she delivered her message. And here's a second way that Deborah was ready. Let's look at verses 8 and 9. And Barak said to her, if you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. So she said, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, there will be no glory for you in the journey you are taking, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. Then Deborah rose and went with Barak to Kadesh. So for whatever reason, Barak didn't want to go into battle without Deborah. Perhaps he felt that by her going with him, the prophecy would come true. Or perhaps he was scared and he believed the Lord would protect Deborah, so he wanted her to stay close to him. We need to remember that at this point in the story, Deborah was not the kind of Old Testament judge who was a military leader. However, Deborah was ready. She said to Barak, "I will gladly go with you." She did warn him that it would hurt his reputation that the Lord would use a woman to bring victory to Israel rather than him. By the way, this does not mean that she was saying that women are weak or they couldn't lead. However, Deborah knew full well that other men may think that it was dishonorable that Barak had to rely on Deborah to help bring victory. Now, Deborah never said it was wrong for her to lead. However, when Barak would not lead on his own, Deborah was ready to lead. Now, men and women, for those of us whom God has called to lead, we must be ready to lead. We must use the talents that God has blessed us with and not hide them like we find in the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. So if you want to turn there to Matthew 25, it's a wonderful parable that we have all read many times and has such a wonderful message, and that if we use those talents that God has blessed us with to serve him with the best of our abilities, such a great reward is coming our way through God's grace. And in Matthew 25 and verse 23, it has words which we all long to hear one day. And it's also one of my favorite verses. So Matthew 25 and verse 23. His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." So now in turn, if we don't use those talents God has blessed us with, we will in turn lose out on that reward and be punished for eternity. And so let's look at verses 26 through 30 and see what it says about that. Matthew 25, verses 26 through 30. But his Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and in my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him, and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So I think that this goes right in line with the scripture reading that Brother Ethan read in Romans 12. God has blessed us each with different gifts and roles and functions according to his grace. We need to use each of those gifts to strengthen the body, which aligns with what Deborah did in using her gifts to serve the Lord. So now Deborah was not only a ready leader, Deborah was a courageous leader. So back in Judges 4, and we'll just read verse 10. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh. He went up with 10,000 men under his command, and Deborah went up with him. Now Barak, the leader of Israel, was not willing to go into battle alone. The only way he would go was if Deborah was willing to go too. Now if you can imagine the scene, Sisera had 900 iron chariots, which is like having today 900 tanks. If you can imagine those all lined up, it would be quite a scene. Multiplied thousands of skilled soldiers, greatly outnumbering Israel. More weapons than the Israelites could imagine. Now in turn, the Israelites didn't have a strong military like Sisera did. So on his own strength, Barak had every reason to fear defeat. Yet he forgot something that Deborah had said earlier. God had told them he was going to deploy, deliver, and destroy Sisera at the river Kishon. Evidently, Barak didn't fully believe this, but Deborah did. Deborah believed God no matter how impossible the situation looked. So what impossible situation are you facing this morning? Maybe it's financial, or maybe it's family, or maybe it's friendship, or place whatever you know you want in that sentence. I urge you to commit this verse to memory. In the book of Psalms, Psalms 20 and verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. So being courageous isn't always the easiest thing. But when we lean on the Lord and our brothers and sisters in Christ, we can get through and accomplish anything. So the next time we are out in the world and we have an opportunity to talk to someone about the gospel, we need to be courageous and step up just like Deborah did. In the book of Matthew chapter 10, well-known section of scripture, Matthew 10 verses 32 and 33, it says, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." So now Deborah was not only a respected, ready, and courageous leader. Deborah was a reliable leader. Deborah got the job done. She delivered the word of the Lord to Barak, and she rode out with the army of the Lord to battle. And we see that the Lord kept his word, and he brought victory. So back in Judges 4, we'll read verses 14 through 16. Then Deborah said to Barak, "Up, for this is the day in which the Lord had delivered Sisera into your hand. Has not the Lord gone out before you?" So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. And the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all of his army with the edge of the sword before Barak, and Sisera alighted from his chariot and fled away on foot. But Barak pursued the chariots and the army as far as Harosheth Hagoyim, and all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword. Not a man was left. And jumping ahead, also verses 23 and 24, it says, "So on that day God subdued Jabin, king of Canaan, in the presence of the children of Israel. And the hand of the children grew stronger and stronger against Jabin, king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan." So our reliable God brought victory through a reliable leader. Brothers and sisters, God has called some of you to lead. Men and women, young and old, God is calling some of you to lead. Listen, our world needs reliable leaders. Our country needs reliable leaders. Our churches need reliable leaders. Our specific church here needs reliable leaders. If God is calling you to leadership, seek to be someone who is trustworthy, who takes action, who has integrity, who is godly, who is brave, and who is reliable, like Deborah was. By the way, I can't leave this story without telling you about another woman in this story. Her name was Jael. Let's look at verses 17 through 22 of chapter 4 there in Judges. I'll start in verse 17. "However, Sisera had fled away on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, for there was peace between Jabin, king of Hazor, and the house of Heber, the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, 'Turn aside, my lord, turn aside to me, do not fear.' And when he had turned aside with her into the tent, she covered him with a blanket. Then he said to her, 'Please, give me a little water to drink, for I am thirsty.' So she opened a jug of milk, gave him a drink, and covered him. And he said to her, 'Stand at the door of the tent, and if any man comes and inquires of you and says, "Is there any man here?" you shall say, "No." Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a tent peg and took a hammer in her hand and went softly to him and drove the peg into his temple. And it went down into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary, so he died." You better believe that Jael was reliable also. She got the job done, didn't she? She must have been one brave and strong woman. Here's what's amazing. Do you remember the prophecy delivered by Deborah? She said in Judges 4 and verse 9, I will gladly go with you, but you will receive no honor on the road you are about to take, because the Lord will sell Sisera to a woman." So at first reading, many probably would think that Deborah was talking about herself. However, whether or not Deborah even realized it, she was talking about jail. The Lord delivered the evil leader, Sisera, into the hands of a simple tent-dwelling woman named Jael, and she drove a tent peg through his head. Deborah was reliable, Jael was reliable, and any leader who wants to be used by God should seek to be respected, ready, courageous, and reliable. Bottom line, the story of Deborah teaches us that God uses human leaders for divine purposes. We see this reality time and again throughout the Bible. God used Moses to lead his people out of Egypt. God used David to lead as a powerful king. God used Esther to spare the Jews from extermination. God used Ezra and Nehemiah to bring the people back to the law of God and the land of God. God used Joshua to bring conquest to the promised land. God used the apostles to start the early church. God used Paul to take the gospel to the Gentile world. God uses the elders today to lead local congregations. And God used Deborah to give direction to the people of Israel and to lead them to deliverance from their sin and terror of Jabin's army. So God uses human leaders to accomplish divine purposes. He did so then, and he does so today. So challenge yourself this week in the following ways. Consider if God is calling you to be a leader. God is still using leaders today to accomplish his purposes. Perhaps he is already using you. There are so many people who lead in different ways in this church, and praise God for that reality. Additionally, I believe God is calling others to step up as leaders. Men and women, young and old, God might be calling you to lead. If God is calling you to lead, we need to step up and use those talents God has blessed us with. There are so many different ways that we can lead. For the youth, you can be an influence in your school to help be a leader and one who other kids look up to, and because of your actions and conduct, which can help lead them to God. And that's you, Audrey. Maybe God has blessed you with the ability to teach. This congregation can always use more teachers, especially females who can teach and lead the younger ones who are the future of this congregation. Maybe God has blessed you with wisdom through many years of studying, growing, and experiences. Find ways to lead and pass that knowledge down to those who are younger and less experienced than you. I myself had had many in the congregation do that for me, and I'm truly grateful and a better Christian for it. So if God is calling, be ready to lead as Deborah was ready to lead. Sometimes I think we get ideas in our head that we can't do certain things, whether it be because we think that we don't have the ability or just that we're too afraid to. But if we have faith and trust in the Lord, anything is possible. As far as being a leader, the one way I think we all can is by our example. When we're out in the world, we all commanded in the book of Matthew. If you turn there, Matthew 5 and verse 16, we're all commanded to let our light shine. Matthew 5 and verse 16, it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So now this light is a reflective light. So as we behold the glory of God, we reflect it. Therefore, we need to make sure that nothing comes between us and the Lord's light. So there are also a couple of parallel passages. I want to look at those. In 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." And then also in the book of Philippians, Philippians 2, we'll read verses 14 through 16. Philippians 2, verses 14 through 16. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. So in turn, doing this, I believe, is one of the best ways to lead others to Christ, because they see something that is different than what the rest of the world is doing. So now in this lesson, we see that Deborah was respected, but there is no one worthy of more respect than Jesus. So there also in the book of Philippians, Philippians 2, and we'll read verses 10 through 11. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So now Deborah was courageous, but there is no one more courageous than Jesus. To go all the way to the cross, knowing all the painful and awful things that were going to happen, and knowing the whole time that you could destroy all those that were doing this at any time. But because he loved us so much, he went all the way to the cross and died for us. That shows more courage than has ever been shown. In the book of Matthew, Matthew 26, Matthew 26 and verse 53. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will not provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? And I skipped one of them. Deborah was also ready, but there was no one more ready than Jesus. And concerning Jesus, back there in the book of Philippians, Philippians 2 and verse 8. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Death, even the death of the cross. And also, Deborah was reliable, but there was no one more reliable than Jesus. Before his crucifixion, Jesus prayed this to God the Father in Luke chapter 22. In verse 42, Luke 22 and verse 42. Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And back there in Judges, in the book of Judges, chapter 5, I read verses 1 through 3. And this is from the Song of Deborah, is the heading. Then Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinadab, sang on that day, saying, when leaders lead in Israel, when the people willingly offer themselves, bless the Lord. Hear, O kings, give ear, O princes. I will sing to the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord, God of Israel. Christians, let me remind you, the same God who gave Israel over the enemy is the same God who gives you the victory in Christ Jesus our Lord. Just as Deborah and Barak gave praise to God, realizing there was no way they could have accomplished it on their own. That's what God deserves from you and I today. Let me share with you one of my favorite verses on victory. And that can be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the book of Judges shows us how desperately we needed a Savior. Time and again, people turned away from God, then judgment came. Then God provided a Savior. However, in the book of Judges, it was always a temporary Savior. We needed a permanent Savior. Now, Deborah was a great leader. Other judges, kings, prophets were great people. However, they simply all paved the way for the greatest leader, the greatest prophet, the greatest judge, the greatest king, and the greatest Savior, Jesus Christ. And this great Savior and King is calling you today. He has set forth a perfect plan of salvation, which is so easy to follow and which we read about time and time again in God's Word. So if you have yet to obey this plan and have reached an age of accountability, all you need to do is hear the Word of God. We find that in Acts 2 and verse 37. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God, John 3:16. Repent of your sins, Acts 2:38. Confess with your mouth before men that Christ is the Son of God, Romans 10, verses 8 through 10. And be baptized or immersed in water, Colossians 2 and verse 12. So now for those of us who are already Christians and have sin in our lives, we need to repent and make a change in our lives that takes us away from that sin and pray to God. In 1 John and chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us for all unrighteousness. So maybe your sin is of a public nature. You can come forward and we would love to pray with you and for you. So whatever your need, please come as we stand and sing to encourage you.